in Oklahoma City. You know, we're grown men now. You know, we know what we want. We really know the game of basketball now. You know, we're not those young guys that just run around and want to just shoot and dunk all day. We know the games. We know spots. We know, you know, teams, players. We're more advanced.
Well, we pretty much seen every defense, every offensive scheme. We done been in every type of game, playoffs, game sevens, you know. So we done been through a lot in this league, experienced a lot. And for us to bring it together now and combine what we've learned over this time and try to play great basketball, I think it was pretty seamless for us.
No question, reunited, and it feels so good. Katie and Harden and the tray of us. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, I'm Molly Karam Rose. Welcome into First Take. Thank you for spending your part of the day with us.
Good to see y'all.
Guys.
Yeah. I mean, together.
I would hug you, but I can't. All right. Well, we need to talk about this, though.
Yeah.
Unreal. Harden and KD taking care of business. No Kyrie. Kyrie missing his seventh game due to personal reasons. Steve Nash said he is available to play on Wednesday. Stephen A., do you think these two are a championship duo, even if they don't have Kyrie, if they're not going to be a big three in the end?
I said it yesterday. I'll say it again today. Brooklyn Nets going to the finals.
Mm.
They're going to the finals. I'm no apologize. Sorry, Philadelphia. Doc Rivers, my brother, I love you. Sorry, Philadelphia. You saw Ben Simmons shoot that three the other day, right? So, I mean, damn.
The worst miss I've ever seen in my life.
He got closer to the rim than you would. I mean, it's ridiculous, Max Kellerman. I mean, you got that situation. Milwaukee. I love what I saw last night because we saw Giannis drop 34. We saw Drew Holiday drop 20 or 22 and Chris Middleton as well. And they still lost. This is exactly what I'm talking about here because when it's time to close the deal, we're talking about Kevin Durant. Let me tell you something right now. I mean, are you were worried, Max Kellerman. You never questioned the game of Kevin Durant. You never did that. You were never that sacrilegious. You were never that blasphemous. You were never that. You never committed such a heinous act. But you did bring in the question. You did act like you were the modern-day orthopedic surgeon or something like that. I mean, you did act like one of those dudes. I mean, I've never seen anybody come back from this injury. I mean, you see that, Molly?
Yeah.
You see that? It's Achilles tear. I mean, nobody's ever done it. And I said to you, Max, it ain't Dominique Wilkins, man, even though he came back from it pretty nicely at one
we
point.
We throw out WNBA players for you that came
his
back.
Athleticism, yeah. His athleticism. It ain't Russell Westbrook. It ain't somebody like that. We're talking about a sniper, an elite sniper, the likes of which this game has never seen. Molly, I will remind you that the leading scorer in NBA history ever is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
And we once had a discussion years and years ago, long before you were on this show, Max, where we literally sat up there and was like, this is the one dude that got a chance to catch Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
So young.
If he wanted to. If he wanted to be aggressive. If he wanted to jack up 25 to 30 shots a game. That's who KD is. And off of an Achilles tear, 18 months out of business, first 10, 11 games of the season, I said he could average 25 in his sleep. Remember, I said it right here. Yeah. Book it. He going to do 25. Oh, no, I was wrong. The brother's dropping 30. Mm. 30 a game on better than 50% shooting, better than 40% shoot from three-point range. He's just that dude. And Harden, supposedly out of shape, supposedly a little bloated, even though he's going to be in shape really quickly, okay? That dude. The one who's averaged 30 over the last three games. We forgot what a point guard he can be when he wants to be. How he can be unselfish. How he's willing to pass the ball. How he's not willing to dribble the ball 12 times before taking a shot. We are seeing James Harden put on a show. Let me tell you something right now. This is the Eastern Conference. And no matter what anybody says, the East ain't the West. Even though it's a little stronger, it's not the West. Of course Brooklyn could come to the finals. I ain't say they can win the chip because the Lakers waiting for you and Anthony Davis and LeBron. So you might need Kyrie for that. But to get to the finals, they don't even need Kyrie. Kyrie could take the rest of the year off and Brooklyn will go to the finals.
You're wrong, but I need to start by saying what KD has done is amazing.
That would make
because
right.
It's not just 25. Well, you said he could score 25 in his sleep, but it's his entire game.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant, like, for as much as you and others have said, well, he doesn't rely on athleticism, he's very athletic. At his size, he looks the same, which no one's ever really come back from that in the NBA, looking like the same guy before they left. He looks the same to me. Amazing. So KD is KD. And James Harden, this dude looks like he rolled out of bed, shows up in Brooklyn looking like a hot mess, fat, out of shape, 30-point triple-double, those old man YMCA skills,
unreal.
You know, like it's unreal. So tip of the cap to both those guys, and they're playing well together. Here's the problem. This is why they need Kyrie. Dinwiddie gets hurt for the season. Mm-hmm. In order to get James Harden, they have to move LeVert, who hopefully medically is okay because it turns out he's got, you know,
yeah, he got some issues.
He's got some issues. And Allen, right? Those are three of their best six players before the Harden trade. Mm-hmm. Half the team really in the rotation is gone. They are going to need someone who can really play to fill those minutes. I like Jeff Green. I like DeAndre Jordan in spots. But Joe Harris, I don't think, is going to be enough. I like Joe Harris a lot. They need another dynamic player on that team for the second unit. Someone to take the load off of KD, who, by the way, is coming back from an Achilles. Like, given the lack of depth on this team, what are you going to play Harden and KD 45 minutes a night each through the playoffs? That's tough. Yes, they beat a team that has continuity, where the Freak dropped 34, mm-hmm. that is built for the regular season at least, and they did it because they have two guys who can go get their own shot at the end of games. That is real. But over a long, grueling season mm-hmm. and then into the playoffs, mm-hmm. they're going to need someone to mm-hmm. take. By the way, Kyrie is a chemistry issue. Mm-hmm. I know it. They're going to need him.
Well, first of all, you know not of what you speak. But I understand, Max Kellerman. I get it. I understand where you're coming from. I would tell you, I would remind you a couple of things. Number one, just for not, this is not about you. In the two games that James Harden is there, he's averaging 33, 13, and 9.
Yeah, it's unreal.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Here's the worst part.
Fat. He's doing it fat.
He's only shooting 30% from threes. Yeah. He ain't even been shooting his percentage from threes. He shoots 48% from the field. He shoots 30% from threes. He's averaging 33, 13, and 9 in the two games that he has been in Brooklyn. KD right now is at 30.6 on 54% shooting, 48% from three-point range. Here's where you're missing the point. Defensively, they got to get their act together. Offensively, there's no issue. You know why? It's two reasons. Everybody and their mother knows it's about those three. And number two, your number one option is not only incredibly unselfish, he's incredibly efficient. So Kevin Durant is the type of dude, look, and this is what, if you really, really think back to when you marveled at Michael Jordan, it wasn't just his greatness as a scorer, Molly and Max, or anything mm-hmm. like that. It was the fact that Michael Jordan could sit back and go like this. Okay, y'all do what y'all, let me see what y'all got. Y'all do what y'all got to do. Literally don't shoot the ball for 6, 7 minutes, 9 minutes or whatever, and then you struggling. Okay, give me the ball. And then bam, 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 three shots, three baskets, four baskets, five baskets, whatever it took. This is what Kevin Durant does. So he does not disrupt the chemistry. He only elevates it. The fact of the matter is because he's so unselfish and because he's so efficient, you can afford to let James Harden, Kyrie Irving figure things out, and the rest of the personnel has no problem because Joe Harris knows, shoot the damn ball when we give you an open shot.
But Stephen A., are they enough to take the Lakers? I get a championship duo be there, just those two.
Time out.
Is Max saying they're not?
I've already answered that question. I said those two are enough to go to the finals. They probably need Kyrie to win it.
Okay.
You can't win the championship. I don't believe they can win the championship without Kyrie, but they can get to the finals
without
Kyrie.
The point you're making is about the fact that KD – mm-hmm. on any team that ever existed mm-hmm. in any era would only ever make that team better. He is the perfect complementary piece to any team. So I agree. So what you're really talking about is the chemistry between KD and Harden. I totally agree with that. KD and Harden will be able to play together. What I'm saying is the two of those guys, given how thin the roster is after the moves to get them and the Dinwiddie injury, are not going to be enough. You need someone to take the load off.
And I'm saying to you, offensively, they will be. Defensively, you got to get your act together. But offensively, you're going to be no problem. Are you ready?
They need Kyrie.
Before we move on, are you ready? Because, you know, you have been pretty. I mean, I thought I was hard on KD because, obviously, going to Golden State. But you have held on to it from the standpoint, he's got a lot to prove, blah, blah, blah. Are you still in it?
This is what I think about KD in Brooklyn. I said it since the beginning. As weak as it was for him to go to Golden State, mm-hmm. that's how strong it was to go to Brooklyn. Because especially after an Achilles, in a franchise that never got a whiff, with a team that just got thrown together, if you can lead that team to a championship, you will have proven something you haven't in your career yet. yes, I'm staying to that.
Legacy
moves.
He's not
proving what he can prove right now.
All right, redemption tour for Max Kellerman. All right, Harden and KD have combined for 208 of their 247 points, 61 of 69 in the fourth quarter alone. Oh. Just those two. Clutch. Let's go from one MVP to another, y'all. Patrick Mahomes was knocked out of the divisional round late in the game with a concussion. It is still TBD if he'll be ready to go or not against the Bills in the AFC Championship. Chad Henne is the backup. He did take care of business. Stephen A.,
yes.
What's at stake for Mahomes this weekend?
In terms of, what do you mean? Is like, if he doesn't play?
No. Yes.
Listen, I don't know about everybody else. For me personally, I kind of remember the dude that struggled those three quarters in the Super Bowl. I kind of believe that San Francisco blew it more than he wanted. I kind of believe that that pass to Tyreek Hill was more of a Hail Mary than anything else. I kind of believe that. Now, I understand this. It's very, very important. I am not questioning the greatness of Patrick Mahomes. He's phenomenal and great. The reason why I bring up stuff like that, it's not because I'm questioning his greatness. It's because I'm questioning people like you who are so quick to say, oh, please, nothing. This is no discussion. Aaron Rodgers. Because remember, the bad man that he is, I have religiously honed in on that. Your thought was, I appreciate Aaron Rodgers, and he's phenomenal, and he's great, whatever. But it's a new day. Mm-hmm. And Patrick Mahomes is that dude, and that is it. And I am saying, that is not it. Patrick Mahomes is the reigning defending Super Bowl champion, but Aaron Rodgers said, y'all must have forgot. Here I come, and he has come, and he has come. And as a result, if this brother ends up getting past Tom Brady and goes to the Super Bowl, and he's waiting there for Patrick Mahomes, and he beats Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, which is very possible, excuse me, we have to have a different discussion. So that epitaph that you wrote about Aaron Rodgers for so long, even though you've conceded his greatness, the epitaph that you wrote about him, I'm sorry, it was a bit premature. That's what I'm saying. And when we talk about Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, wait, Aaron Rodgers, not Tom Brady. Oh, both.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, both, actually.
Like saying,
both epitaphs, or whatever that word
that
is.
Tom Brady's a six-time champion.
We're a little premature.
But we've never considered him the most.
It was a joke, Stephen. I just go along with it.
We've never considered him the most talented quarterback of all time. He's just the ultimate winner.
Yeah.
If Aaron Rodgers beats Mahomes in the Super Bowl, then you're right. Then Rodgers, I think, took back the crown because I think it was Mahomes. If you look at who played the best this year, mm-hmm. you got to give it to Rodgers by a hair, partly because Mahomes sat out the last game. You know why he sat out the last game? He was 14-1 as a starter this year. He lost one game to the Raiders, a divisional rival built to beat him, and he beat them in the rematch. The only bad game he had was against Miami in a game they won. Aaron Rodgers' really bad game came against the Bucs in a game they lost. Rodgers had a slightly better season than Mahomes. He did. But if you take the last three seasons in the NFL, there's no one close to Mahomes. He's by so much the best. So let's say Mahomes doesn't play this upcoming game.
Okay.
What does it mean for him, Molly? I'll answer the question directly. You don't have to play this upcoming game to still be considered the best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Rodgers faces him in the Super Bowl and beats him because I think even though Green Bay has a better defense at this point, I think it's fair to say, Mahomes has more weapons on offense.
Mm-hmm.
It's close enough where if Rodgers takes his team and beats Mahomes, you got it. Rodgers got the crown back after a year where he was getting used to LaFleur, mm-hmm. didn't look the same, looked like he was mm-hmm. past his prime, new day.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it to you.
Right.
But if they lose because Mahomes doesn't play this weekend, that doesn't mean Mahomes isn't the best in the game.
First of all, it's lovely how slick you try to get. See, that's the hazard of sitting across from me because I listen and I catch you. What you have to understand, Max Kellerman, is that yeah, we couldn't dispute. Nobody with sense could dispute that Patrick Mahomes had the crown. You had a 50-touchdown season the year before. You came back last year and won league MVP. You came back the next year and won the Super Bowl championship. So we all conceded that the crown was his for the moment. You were like, it's over. In other words, he's younger. He's already a Super Bowl champion. He's ascending here. We speculated as to how many Super Bowls he could win, five or six or whatever. And I said, yo, Aaron Rodgers, excuse me, this is not over. He's still a bad man. That's what I said. Oh, please. Look at him just, look at him slide. Look at him decline. I said Matt LaFleur. I used to say LaFleur, but we all know that he didn't like that. So I was respecting the man's name and didn't call him LaFleur anymore. But the bottom line is, I said, new coach.
Let me be very
clear. Not enough weapons.
Let me be very clear.
Matter of fact, I remember saying to you, give Aaron Rodgers Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
Let me be very clear. First of all, talk about asinine comments. You're not giving Patrick Mahomes credit for calling his own number in the Super Bowl, dropping like 15 steps and throwing a 60-yard bomb?
No.
You're not giving Mahomes credit for that?
No, what I said was, I said it looked like a damn Hail Mary. It stayed up there forever. You understand? I mean, go look at the pass. I mean, do we need to get tapes of the pass in the Super Bowl?
It's an accident. Mahomes
got an accident. No. He threw the pass. He deserves credit for it. All I'm saying is his play for those three quarters was suspect.
The question with Rodgers is, last year, was that about LaFleur, new coach and everything, or was he in decline? Mm-hmm. That's what this year is about. Mm-hmm. I didn't say, for sure, Aaron Rodgers is done, mm-hmm. but I want to be very clear. Mm-hmm. What I did say, and what I still mean, as great as Aaron Rodgers has mm-hmm. been at his very best, mm-hmm. and you and I agree, that's the best we've ever seen at quarterback, mm-hmm. until I saw Patrick Mahomes. So I think the height of Patrick Mahomes is now the best of all time, including the height of Rodgers, because I think Rodgers this year played as well as he's ever played. And Mahomes has been in the league for 3 seasons.
And I'm saying for you, the fact that you can say that Aaron Rodgers has a chance to reclaim mm-hmm. means that it was a bit premature.
What that means is it's close enough between them that they can still write their script.
Stephen A. is just trying to take a victory lap right now that he was right about Rodgers and that you were wrong.
I never said Rodgers was over.
I'm just telling you, that's what he's trying to do.
Here's the difference. I never said Rodgers was over.
I'm talking about compared to Mahomes. You didn't say that.
I said I think the height of Mahomes is better than the height of Rodgers.
I'm only talking about compared to Mahomes.
I'll even tell you the phrase I use. There's not a dime's worth of difference. My nickel goes to Mahomes. Recall that. I've used it several times. Bill James quote about Lefty Grove
this
and Sandy Koufax.
Now, not last year.
Let me just say this. Mahomes is the one player in the history of the NFL that I've ever watched who I think if he plays, his team wins the Super Bowl every year. I thought they should have won it his first year as a starter. Pre-snap penalty, gave the ball back. He never touched it again. AFC Championship game. He then won the Super Bowl. And I'm saying right now, if he's healthy, they win the Super Bowl again. That's the only player I could ever say that about, including Aaron Rodgers. If that dude plays, they win the Super Bowl every year.
You never was able to say that about Aaron Rodgers. If he played in the Super Bowl, they're winning the game.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
To the NFL we go. Sources have told our Adam Schefter that Texans star quarterback Deshaun Watson is still upset with the franchise over, among other issues, the process they used to hire general manager Nick Caserio. One source told ESPN's Sarah Barshop that the Texans have had internal conversations about possible trade partners and what their quarterback position would look like in the future. without Watson. On that note, we bring in Big Swagoo, my guy, Marcus Spears. Been too long. Always a pleasure to see you, sir.
What's up,
I will be with you in just a minute. Nothing. That video, by the way, you guys showed on Get Up of Kendrick Perkins' son was absolutely hilarious. The Jeff Saturday flop segment. I was going to tell First Take producers, we need to see it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my. He tweeted it out if you want to see it. Maybe we can get it later in the show. It is hilarious. What's up, Stephen?
May I interject for a second?
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with Marcus Spears?
Why?
I mean, he said, hey, Molly. I mean, Max, and we just.
Hey, what are we chopping?
She spoke. I mean,
what, what's up with that?
She spoke.
What's up with that?
That's my people.
You don't know how to mind your manners. You don't know how to say hello to everybody.
Hi, Stephen A. Hi, Max.
Thank you.
Hey,
let's go, Molly.
All right. Let's go. Right.
Don't make me have to tell you that again.
Let's go.
Don't make me have to tell you that again.
Let's go.
I usually wear suits and ties on this show too.
Oh my goodness. Y'all are.
Mind your manners.
Stephen A., you got a basketball build. Max, you got a bad back. Let's all settle down. Max, how did the Texans?
Listen, they're going to do sit on me?
What do you think we're going to do with this market?
Can you stay focused so we debate? People come for the debate.
I saw you boxing. I ain't got to sit on you. I saw you practice boxing.
Hold on, let me tell you something.
I'm the best boxer on the show. Everyone knows this.
Wait a minute. That was a long time ago. Stay tuned.
Please.
Okay.
So you think Nate Robinson, non-contact injury coming?
Could you imagine me hitting Marcus? I'd fall.
I thought you were getting ready for the celebrity all-star game. I thought that was your focus. Stay focused on one thing, all right?
That is.
Max, will you answer my question now?
Yeah.
Do you want a debate?
Cool.
How do the Texans look right now?
Like the worst franchise in football. The worst. Number one worst in football. I don't even have to go into how great Deshaun Watson is. As a player, Mike Greenberg did something, which he then tweeted out, which I suggest go follow Greeny on Twitter and look at what, because he broke down statistically what Deshaun just did this past season with only three other quarterbacks in the history of the game have ever done it. He was so great, and the Texans' defense was so bad. And they got rid of his boy and one of the best receivers in the game with maybe arguably the best set of hands of all time, certainly on a very short list, Larry Fitzgerald, a couple other guys, DeAndre Hopkins. This organization did that without telling them? Could you imagine Joe Montana in his prime? They call him into the office. Yeah, Joe, they don't know. He's watching SportsCenter, and he finds out they traded Jerry Rice. It would never happen, right? The disrespect that they've shown Deshaun Watson. They hire a firm for hundreds of thousands of dollars to go on a search for it. For a front office, for a coach, and they come back, and suddenly the owner decides 11th hour, I'm just going to hire this other guy. Deshaun said, would you just listen to me? I'd like to give some input. You don't have to take it. I'd like to have some input. They say, no, don't worry about that. Do you understand they've so alienated Deshaun Watson, who is, by all accounts, including our own experiences talking to him, the leader you want. He has that magic pixie dust that believes, sprinkles it on everything. Everyone believes they can win. In college, in the pros. He is exactly the kind of leader you want on the team. Do you understand? You've alienated him to the point. Let's say you could trade Deshaun Watson and get a haul of picks and do everything you wanted to do. You know what the whole point would be? To one day, maybe your franchise could acquire a player almost as good as Deshaun Watson, who you had on your team. And trust me, he won't be on the team for long. No one's going to want these Texans jobs now. No one's going to want to work for the Houston Texans after how they just botched this situation with Deshaun Watson. They look like the worst franchise in football.
I don't disagree with you, but I want to take it a step further. And I'll ultimately admit that, you know, this is just my feeling. And this is not about First Take. This is not about anybody else, because it's going to be relatively controversial. But I'm going to say the damn thing anyway, because the reality of the situation is that sometimes, even though we're incredibly hesitant to attach guilt by association, we have to take into account certain situations. Think about the times that we're living in, social justice issues and things of that nature. Think about what their dad, God rest his soul, Bob McNair's position was running this franchise as owner of the Houston Texans. He was not somebody that was considered relatively sensitive to those things. Remember that prior to George Floyd's killing, even a year or two earlier, there was some beef involving DeAndre Hopkins. And even though I took the position that, you know, you got a contract, you got to go to work, you can't. I mean, if everything was contingent on liking what your boss had to say, most of us wouldn't have jobs. You can't allow that to prevent you from going to work. Nevertheless, he had offended DeAndre Hopkins because of sentiments that he possessed and he expressed that, you know, the inmates running the asylum or something like that, if I remember correctly. He used something along those lines, and DeAndre Hopkins had gotten offended by that. I'm bringing all of this up to say the McNairs are who still run the Texans. And so when you take it when you take it into that realm, yeah, they gave Deshaun Watson his money. Yes, he was tearful in his gratitude and appreciation when he had the press conference thanking them for the faith that they showed in him. So why would Deshaun Watson do an about face? There's only one logical explanation. And yeah, you can point to Deshaun, trading DeAndre Hopkins. You can point to a few things that he did not like. But ultimately, if you talk to Dabo Sweeney, his coach at Clemson, if you talk to teammates and friends of Deshaun Watson, people who know him, that's not who he is. He's a real dude. What would the about face entail? How do you go from crying with gratitude for them paying you to switching around and saying, I want out of there? There can only be one thing, and that is whatever you did after you gave him the money alienated him, which means you basically told him, we gave you the money, now shut the hell up, go play, and we'll do this. And that is the one thing that could have offended him to the point that he's so offended by that he has done an
shut the hell up and go play with no one. That's go play right. with no one. Without That's a right. defense, without an offense, just go play That's by right. yourself.
What? That's what they did to him. And he was like, yo, this is not what this was supposed to be about. That's the only reason Deshaun Watson would act like this, where he's like, I don't want to have anything to do with y'all.
Yeah, look, the question that was posed is how do the Texans look in this situation? Terrible. But they've looked terrible before, to your point, Stephen A., with the late owner. They've looked terrible before, to your point, Max, with trading DeAndre Hopkins with a young quarterback that's in his prime. I remember all of us sat on this show and went crazy about that particular situation. But this is how it was explained to me about Deshaun Watson from someone. They disenfranchise their franchise throughout this process. Had nothing to do with the contract. And I'm so glad you said that, Stephen A., because I don't know one football player in the NFL, if you put $170 million in front of their face, they're not going to take it, or $150, whatever it is. But that doesn't mean there aren't underlying issues with what's going on. And now it's come to a head because of this particular situation. But this is not the first incident, obviously, with the Houston Texans. Here's my problem. Here's my problem with the whole thing. When you look at all of these teams that we see in the playoffs or we saw in the playoffs, and you think about their quarterbacks, and you think about the impact that the quarterbacks have on the roster, I think about when Stephen A. talks about Aaron Rodgers being a bad man and all of that stuff, and I think about the whole thought process when they drafted Jordan Love and how everybody was talking about, oh, this is the worst thing and the Packers have done a disservice and all of that. Come to find out, Aaron Rodgers and LaFleur have had a pretty good situation. They've been in contact with each other. They've talked. He's expressed the things that he's needed to see as far as the Green Bay Packers. Deshaun Watson is the only light in Houston. J.J. Watt, obviously, but Deshaun Watson is the guy. And you decide not to consult, not to have his input on his future. That's the thing I think people need to understand. This is not just about Deshaun Watson needing a say in the head coaching hire. This is his future.
By the way,
the position as an organization.
J.J. Watt reportedly apologized to Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And he's owed an apology. Good for J.J. Watt. I want to say one thing quickly, Stephen A., before I give it to you. When people talk about the contract as though they did a damn thing for Deshaun Watson, I want to be very clear. Everyone read my lips. McNair didn't do a damn thing for Deshaun Watson. He deserves zero credit for giving him the money, because every single owner in the NFL who had Deshaun Watson at quarterback was going to pay Deshaun Watson. There's a cap talk in the NFL. Talk. When you get a quarterback like Deshaun, and no doubt that dude's a superstar, they always pay him 100% of the time. Don't tell me Dak Prescott. I like Dak a lot. He's not Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson would have been paid by every single owner in the NFL. The Texans deserve zero credit for that contract.
Well, first of all, you're right, number one. Number two, nobody was giving them credit. We were just pointing out how Deshaun Watson gave them credit.
I know you weren't.
And so the point that I'm making is that because he was last seen being so publicly gratified and appreciative of the investment, and those words were the faith they showed in him, he used those words. Think for a second what it takes for somebody of that high character to do an about face against an organization that just a year ago he was so appreciative of. They had to do something. And I'm not talking about just the moves that they made. They
You're talking about credibility. You're talking about
they had to lie to him, Max. They had right. to look him in the face and disrespect him. They had to do something.
That is such
to
an
him
important
for him to change short course like that.
That is such they an important point because you could point to some athletes where if they had a problem with the team and you didn't know any details, you'd be like, that's probably on the athlete. But Deshaun Watson, if someone has a problem with Deshaun Watson, the assumption will be that's the team's fault.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod, and have a fabulous day. The New York Mets have fired general manager Jared Porter this morning after he admitted in an ESPN report posted late Monday night that he sent explicit, unsolicited texts to a female reporter back in 2016 when he worked for the Cubs. Our Jeff Passan and Mina Kimes obtained the text record between Porter and the reporter. The foreign correspondent who had moved to the U.S. to cover Major League Baseball said at one point she ignored more than 60 messages from Porter. After receiving the most explicit image, the woman sent him a message saying to him, stop. Porter responded in a series of texts saying he was sorry, will stop, and that he apologizes. Early this morning, Mets owner Steve Cohen tweeted, we have terminated Jared Porter this morning. In my initial press conference, I spoke about the importance of integrity, and I meant it. There should be zero tolerance for this type of behavior. Stephen A., I'll start with you. How damaging is this to the Mets?
It's not damaging at all. It's not damaging at all because they were not aware of the situation. From my understanding, he came from the Cubs. They weren't aware of the situation. You hired the man based on his resume as a baseball personnel guy. You brought him on. You got a new owner. You've got Sandy Alderson back in tow. You've got Jared Porter there now. And you had no idea. Now, if the Mets had known and did nothing and hired him, then it would have been incredibly incriminating against them. But I do think that a lot of times in our society, we get caught up in villainizing folks that may have been ignorant to a particular situation. You're the New York Mets. You had no knowledge. What are you supposed to do? When you found out, you addressed the matter expeditiously. That's what they did. And so I think, in this case, this was all on Mr. Porter. It was stupid and salacious and something highly inappropriate for him to do, particularly to a woman that clearly didn't want to have anything to do with you. I mean, if it took the first 59 text messages, she never responded to you.
Thank
what the
you.
Hell are you doing sending an additional 64?
This'll
I mean,
do it.
I mean, what's wrong with you? I mean, clearly, I think
it's disturbing.
He's got a problem.
It's disturbing.
He's got a problem. But in the end, what it comes down to is that because, you know, it's not consensual. You have no relationship with her. What the hell are you doing? But having said all of that, the thing about it is that the Mets knew nothing. Mm-hmm. And if they knew nothing, why should they in any way be frowned upon as an organization, especially since once they found out, they fired him. And Steve Cohen, the new owner, made the statement that he made about there will be zero tolerance for this kind of inappropriate behavior. What's the problem? I don't see how this affects or stains the Mets organization in any way. They have nothing to do with this. This is all on Jarrett Porter.
First of all, good for Porter for apologizing when she said stop. On the other hand, he needed to be told not to do that.
Yeah.
In this day and age, in any day or age, but in this day and age especially, he had to be told don't do that. 60 text messages? It's disturbed. Let me say this. Stephen A., you're right. That the Mets have been a clown show for a lot of their history. And especially in a town with the Yankees, who are the gold standard of sports in American history, 27 championships, the Mets are usually the clown show, and the Yankees are the heritage franchise. The reason this is damaging to the Mets in a way, at least in the short term, is that the Yankees are under orders to get below the luxury tax, repeater threshold, all that stuff from Hal Steinbrenner. And meantime, the Mets, it's a new day. Right? The Wilpons, cheap Wilpons, they're broke because of Madoff, whatever. They sell the team. Cohen has all this money. He's going to spend it, and they make this big trade for Lindor and also Carrasco, who's very good mid-rotation pitcher. Here they come. And while they handled it appropriately, you're right, as soon as they found out, okay, you're gone. Yeah. You're out of here. That's right. It still gives the appearance of clown show. And so it's not that they did anything wrong. It may be, in fact, the way they handled it augurs well, right? It bodes well for their future. But at this moment, it's a stain on the franchise at the moment, attached to the Mets, a controversy, right at the time where it looked like, okay, here they come. There's no way to spin it that it's good, except for the fact that you're right. As soon as they found out about it, you're out of there.
Here's why I respectfully disagree with you to some degree, because given the impression of a clown show or whatever. I think that depends on us, not them. It depends on how we treat the Mets. You know, as a media, as the fourth estate, as pundits and commentators out there, they don't deserve that in this situation. This man did this stuff in 2016 when he was the member of another organization. The other organization, which is the Chicago Cubs, didn't know about it. No one knew about it. So, you know, to hold them culpable in any way gives the impression that, you know what, they're supposed to know every single thing about you and your personal life. I'm sorry, Max, if I'm an executive for the New York Mets or any organization, I might probe, I might check the police blotters, I might interview you and ask you some questions. I wouldn't even think to ask you, did you do this after somebody ignored you 59 times on a text message? I mean, I wouldn't think to ask you that question.
Not to make light of it or anything, but your GM has to be able to negotiate deals. This guy is so thirsty that he does something like this. It's like, how did you entrust him to negotate a deal with
him? How did you know? But you wouldn't know.
But now they do know. They did let him go. That's the right move. There has to be a zero tolerance policy for this type of behavior. We've been focused on the Mets. I just want to say for the female, the victim, she's not suing. She doesn't want money. She just wants to deter this behavior in the future. She was in a very tough situation. It was a power dynamic from another country, language barriers, cultural barriers. She didn't know what to do, was worried about her job, ended up leaving the industry entirely, going into finance, couldn't continue to follow her dream because of this particular situation.
I totally agree with you, but I do have a question and maybe you have the answer.
I'm not sure.
Was the last text that she received recently or back in 2016?
From what I understand, after the 60 texts, she didn't respond to any of them. And then the lewd photo came. And then she said, please do not, you know, don't send anything else. And then she had reached out to someone else in the industry and kind of confided in them. And they helped her kind of move forward to get out of this situation.
Because what the reason I'm asking that question is, do I
think that text came in 2020? From what I understand from our ESPN reporting, no.
No, the reason why I asked that question, because it's very, very important.
Yeah.
If somehow, some way she let it be known to someone in 2016, then we could start wondering, what did the Cubs know? You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's where I'm getting at. It's mm-hmm. like no one knew until now.
But mm-hmm. I think what Molly brings up, that's the most important point. If someone is in the industry and there's a journalist who wants access, right, then there's no escaping the power dynamic where they're implicit in all those
there
texts.
There was no funny business here. No, yes,
right.
No relationship at all.
Implicit in all those texts are that in order for you to do your job somehow, you need to socialize in a way that you don't want to. And that is in a sense, like limiting access based on stuff that has nothing to do with the job. Good for her for eventually saying
coming
stop.
Forward.
And then,
and I wanted to point it out because sometimes people think, oh, it's just money or it's just this. No, she wanted to be completely anonymous and just doesn't want this to happen moving forward. Wants to be done with the situation entirely. Well, we will leave it there, guys. Oh, you had one thing I think you
I just had
mention.
One thing
sorry,
that I wanted
Stephen.
To say. You know, we've been covering the NBA mm-hmm. for a quarter century. And you know, to a lot of us, it's a brotherhood. And one of our brothers, his name is Sekou Smith. He writes for NBA Digital, for Turner Sports and what have you. He's suffering from COVID right now. So my prayers go out to him because I'm hearing that he's not doing so well. I just wanted to know, I love you. We love you, brother, and we hope that you get better real, real soon. And our prayers are out for you. And I just want to make sure.
Thank you for doing that. And I will also lift him up in prayer. It's a very challenging time.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin. And the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.